all, I just thank my brother for giving me the opportunity to minister to you this morning. I thank my family for being here. There's many that I haven't seen for a couple of years, and I don't think I've ever seen Michelle, all of Michelle's kids, or even met her husband. It's been that long since I've seen Michelle. And I appreciate you for coming and being with us and fellowshipping, because we all, you love the Lord. I know you do, because I see your stuff on Facebook. They go to church. And you know, and it's good to have, it's not just good to have fellowship with family, but it's good to have fellowship with family. And I'm talking about all of us. Do you love the Lord this morning? Amen. Give him another hand clap of praise. When I heard that a bunch of them were coming, I actually got a little nervous. I did. But so I thought, well, I'm just going to give you a couple before we get into the word this morning. And I feel the Spirit of the Lord here this morning. Don't you? Praise the Lord. I want to just share a couple little jokes with you just to kind of lighten it up just a little bit. And I'm going to give you two. My brother's over there shaking his head, but he'll probably relate to this. It says, you know, too often church services are the kind that's pictured in the story of the father who was showing his son through a church building. They came to a plaque on the wall back, you know, like back in the foyer, and the little boy asked, "Daddy, what's that for?" And the father answered, "Oh, that's a memorial to those who died in the service." And the little boy said, "Which service, Daddy, the morning service or the evening service?" I thought that was pretty funny. And then there was another one that, you know, the pastor that he pastored for many, many years, but he left the pastor after about 20 years, and he decided to be a funeral director. Somebody asked him, "Why did you do this?" And his answer was, "Well, I spent about 12 years trying to straighten out John. He never did straighten out. Then I spent about 14 months trying to straighten out the marriage of the Smiths, and it never did get straightened out either. I spent 3 years trying to straighten out Susan, and she never did get straightened out either. Now, when I straighten out people, they stay straight." But praise the Lord. God's good. It's all right to have a little bit of levity, because it says in the scriptures that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So it's okay to laugh a little bit, all right? But there's been something that has been just been burning in my heart, and for several months now, I go to church. Everybody here goes to church, right? And we can look around in our world today, and we can see that it's just getting worse and worse and worse. Can we not look around and we can discern the signs of the times? And if I wasn't a Christian and following God, I would be very, very scared of the things that's going on. But as a Christian, we should be able to discern the times and see what's going on. And so it should cause us to, the Spirit of God to rise up within us and say, maybe I'm not doing everything that I should be doing. Maybe there's more that I can be doing. Would all of us agree that we should be making an impact upon our communities? We should be making impacts in our neighborhoods. We should make an impact in the hospitals around us. Come on. I like the amens. I like a little bit of feedback here. But we should be making an impact in our lives. Can we all agree that all of us have a particular gift? Maybe not everybody sings. Maybe not everybody preaches. Maybe not everybody teaches. But we all have a special gift and an ability that God has given each and every one of us to do. You have teachers, you have apostles, you have evangelists, you have pastors, and you have prophets. Everybody, that's the fivefold leadership in the church. That's the fivefold gifts that God has placed in the church. Your pastor is a gift to this church. Your teachers are a gift to this church. I see somebody just laugh. That's all right. He's my brother. I laugh too. but we have, God has set this in place in the church, and I want to ask you a couple of questions today. And we're going to go to Matthew 16:18 to begin with. But my question is, when will the church be the church? When will the church be the church? And to be something means you have to be actively doing something. It's, do you know it's not good enough to just come, you might think I'm hard, you might think I'm harder than my brother, I don't know. But it's time that the church stops coming in and sit on the pews and think that God's just gonna do everything for us. Amen? It's not enough that we just come in and warm the pews. It's time to be active and do something for God. You see, Matthew 16 and 18, and this is Jesus' words to Peter, he says, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." We are the church. The people makes up the church. We are the ecclesia. We are the assembly. We are assembling here today to receive the word, to be lifted up, to be edified, to be taught, so that we can go out those doors and still be the church. Because the church is not just a building. It is the people in the church. This rock that Jesus is talking about here, I thought this was quite interesting when I was looking this up. Jesus used a little play on words here. When he says, "Upon this rock I will build my church." So he called Peter Petros, which means a little stone. It's a little stone. But he goes on to say, "Upon this rock," which is Petra, meaning a massive rock, or a rocky cliff, that's what he builds his church upon. And I looked at that and I thought, you know, that kind of, I wish I had a bunch of little rocks in here. Because I like illustrative sermons as well. But think about a big old rock being Christ Jesus, who is the cornerstone. That's where the gospel was built upon, is upon Jesus Christ. He is the chief cornerstone. And then just think of us as all being those little rocks built upon that big rock. But you know, Jesus Christ set up the church. And we need to be busy about doing the Father's work. Amen. But we see here that in these passages here in Matthew that Peter made a solid confession. You know, it was on the confession of the disciples of Christ Jesus that the church was built upon. Because they saw Jesus, they walked with him, they talked with him, they were taught by him, and it was because of what they said that the church was actually built upon. After you gotta have that solid foundation first. I'm not gonna get rid of Christ in this, because it's all about Christ. It's not about us. Because guess what? We're gonna fail. But one thing that never fails is Jesus Christ. He never fails. And what he started, it will be built. Now whether you're part of that or not, that's up to you. Cause he's not gonna make you be part of it. Amen? So we have Peter, he made a solid confession. We need to also remember that foundation that Christ built was only built once. It doesn't need to be torn down and built again, because it rots or it crumbles. It will never fall. It will never fail. It will never need to be laid again, because it's already been laid. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, for other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. I'm going to go through these fast here, Stephen. Isaiah 28:16 says, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, and he that believeth shall not make haste." Ephesians 2:20-22, "and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit." We are to be a holy temple. This place should be a holy place. But this is, should be a holy place too. Our heart needs to be holy. Amen? So we can see here, just from these few scriptures that I've read to you, it says the apostles and the disciples in the New Testament, they were the original messengers. But we know that it did not stop there. We still should be spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? It continues. It didn't stop back then and say, oh, well, the building's The building's built when my brother, when all of y'all, when this church was built, he didn't build it and say, oh, well, it's done. You still got to build the church. You got to get people to come. You got to make disciples. You have to teach. You have to preach. You have to bring people into the fold and love them like Christ loved them. So, because of this foundation, I like to ask questions. So just try to make people think. Sometimes we don't think enough. We just follow along with what everybody tells us. Anybody here like that? Or you go read something on the internet and you believe it's true. Well, it's on the internet. It must be true. Right? Not so. Not so. And just because somebody tells you something doesn't mean it's true either. So we need to be careful who we listen to and what we put into our minds and into our spirits and into our hearts. We need to be careful about that. So I ask you today, and I'm just opening right now, so you're just going to give me liberty and I can preach for an hour, right? I'm teasing you. He preaches for an hour, though, I bet. But anyway, some questions. I want to ask you, what is your confession of faith? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? That He was crucified and that He rose from the dead? The birth, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Sometimes people just want to believe one or two of those. They don't want to believe it all. Alright? And when you don't believe it all, you're going to get yourself in trouble. Amen? You need to believe it all. You need to believe the whole Word of God, not just pick and choose what you want to believe. Will your confession that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the Living God, the Healer, the Redeemer, the Deliverer, the Bright and Morning Star, the Light of the World, will your confession cause the church to grow? Because the confession of the apostles, of the disciples, caused the church to grow. It grew daily. It grew daily. It didn't grow by spurts or stops and grows. You know, it didn't stop and then grow a little bit. It grew daily, as the Word of God tells us. So I ask you today, will the church be the church? The church needs to be the church. There's many different purposes of the church. First of them is our ministry is to God. First and foremost, our worship and our fellowship with God is number one. If you don't have that, you have nothing else. Ministry to the believers. Ephesians 4:12-13 says we need to nurture one another. We need to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith. See, there has to be unity in the church as well. If there's not unity, the church will never grow. Because somebody over here saying this and somebody over here saying that. And back there, they're saying something different. There has to be unity of the Spirit. There has to be. Then there's ministry to the world. It's not just enough that we are in relationship with God and in relationship with one another, but we have to be in some kind of relationship to the sinner. Because if we don't, we will never win them to the Lord. Amen? So I ask, will the church be the church today? We have to remain in the Word. We have to remain in fellowship. We have to continue, and we have to act with intention. We can't just act like, you know, get saved. Oh, well, that's all there is to life. You know, I'm going to go to church 2 or 3 times a week. I'm going to go to Bible study. I'm going to go to women's ministry and say that that's enough. That's not enough, because there's a lost and dying world that's going to go to hell if we don't be the church. We need to be the church. So we need to be intentional about what we do. And don't just say, oh, well, God, if you bring somebody in my path, I'll witness to them. Or, you know, wherever you're at, the grocery store or at school or whatever. Oh, well, God, if you give me that opportunity to witness, I'll do it. No, we need to make the opportunity to witness the people. We need to make that opportunity. We need to be the church. Amen? And almost every time, if you're out in the world, if you're on your daily business, God will give you opportunities to witness of His great grace and His love and His mercy and His salvation. So what do we have to do to be the church? First of all, we have to be a praying church. Because if you're not a praying church, the church isn't going to go anywhere. It's just going to, you're just going to come in here. You're going to meet three times a week. Maybe even you come to prayer meeting, you know, and do everything that you know to do. But if you're not praying on your own personal time, you're not doing what God wants us to do. He says that for he that comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. We must be diligent daily. It's not just a one or two. I'm sorry. I'm just going to keep on saying this. I'm going to get it in your heads this morning. You know, it's not just a two or three times a week relationship. We must seek him diligently. We must seek him daily. Every day. How can we live? How can we witness? How can we have any power if we do not seek him daily? We have to continue of him within him. The word of God says to pray without ceasing over in Thessalonians. Pray without ceasing. Amen. And when we pray, now, some of you might disagree with me on this, and that's okay. If we pray something that we know is God's will, why do we end it with, if it be thy will, Lord? Think about it. If it's in his word, and we know it's his will, we don't need to end our prayer with, if it be thy will. We should end that with, thank you, Lord, because I know it's your will to perform what your word has said, and I will give you praise, and I'm going to believe and have faith that you're going to perform what I just prayed. Amen? And we should not pray with any kind of doubt in our hearts. We need to be a witnessing church. I don't know what y'all do on witnessing. You know, if you go out or come in, I don't know what you do, but I know at my home church, we sorely lack in this particular area. We don't go out in groups and witness. You know, it's just like everybody on their own. But I believe the word of God tells me to go out in pairs to witness to the world. Does it not tell us that? It says to go out in twos or threes to witness to the world. And that's what we need to be doing. How will the unbeliever know if we never tell them? And I don't know about you, but I don't want people saying to me, you never told me. You never told me. What a great responsibility that is upon us. The gospel of Jesus Christ is compared to a great pearl. It's a pearl of great price. Why would we not want to share such a wondrous message to people that they can be saved? Why would we not want to do that? We need to be a spirit-filled church. Because without the Spirit of God working in our hearts and in our church, we are powerless. Lord, help us. Are we Pentecostal? I know we've got some Baptists in here, and that's okay. You're still spirit-filled. If you know God, you're still spirit-filled. Amen? And that's where our power is knowing God and His fullness. We need to be a church where the gifts of the Spirit are in operation. I'm telling you, I just heard my brother, and even in Sunday school, talking about all the people that are sick. That's not God's will. I mean, I realize that it's appointed unto man to die. You know, if as long as we are on this earth, it's going to happen. But that's where we need to be, in that prayer mode and discern the will of God. Do we pray for the God to raise them off that bed, or do we pray that the Lord will give them an easy passage into glory? We need to be able to discern. Amen. I'm not hearing much feedback. Thank you. Make me nervous when you get quiet out there. Praise the Lord. But we need to be a church where the gifts of the Spirit are in operation. There should be wonders. There should be signs. The signs should follow those. Want to finish that for me? who believe. Amen. The signs should follow us who believe. There should be wonders. There should be signs. There should be miracles. Amen. There should be prophetic word. There should be tongues and interpretation. There should be healings. There should be a word of wisdom, word of knowledge. All of the gifts of the Spirit should be in operation. So I'm asking you, when will the church be the church? We need to be the church in the days that we live in so that people will come to Christ. Amen? So and I've already talked about the fivefold leadership in place. Every church needs a fivefold leadership in place. Amen? So I'm asking you today, when will the church be the church? And are you ready to be the church? It's time to be about the Father's business. As we look at our times, it's not time to just sit back and say, well, the pastor will do it, or the teacher will do it. Amen? Or Granny Stone will do it. I mean, I don't know what she, well, I know what she does, but she prays. She likes to sing. But you know what? It's time for the church to come together and be in unity and be the church and be active about doing what God has called you to do. I lead a little bit of a women's, well, it's not, yeah, we're small sometimes, a women's Bible study. And this has just been pressing on my heart. It's like we, the church, and even as Bible groups, what, you know, even your youth ministry, it's like, what are we teaching them to do? Are we teaching them that it's just enough to come to church and to sit in Sunday school, to sit in the building and be preached to? I hope not too. We need to be teaching and discipling people to go out these buildings and to reach the lost at any cost, even in persecution. Because we're going to experience persecution. I'm telling you, with the way the laws of the land are changing, I could get real political on you here because my husband's like that and we talk about it a lot. With the way the laws of the land are changing, I'm telling you, church, you better be ready to be the church. Because if you're not ready to be the church, you're gonna fall. Now that's not a prophetic word, but I believe that's the word of God. We have to endure to the very end. And if you have no enduring power, you're not going to stand when somebody comes up to you and says, oh, we're going to take you to jail because of what you said to somebody yesterday. We better be ready to be the church. We need to be filled with the Spirit. We need to be ready to answer, to give answer to anybody for the reason why we believe what we believe. And we need to be ready to be taken to jail for it. So I'm going to ask you this morning. I'm not going to keep you here long, but I have some questions. Are you ready to love more? Because, you know, the church loves. If you go over to the little John, 1 John, he says, we must love. Oh, boy. We've got to love one another. Because if we truly love God the way that we say that we love God, we'll love one another in spite of our differences. We gotta let the differences go. They don't matter. We have to love. We have to show love towards one another because if we bite and devour each other, why does the world want anything to do with that? Amen? That's what the Word of God very clearly says over there. So we need to love more. Are you ready to love more? Because you're not going to reach anybody if you don't love them. And if you don't care for their soul. So that's the first thing. Are you ready to pray more? We've got to pray more, 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 more. Are you ready to witness more? Because that's what it's going to take to bring people in. Are the gifts of the Spirit in operation in your life? Now, I realize that, you know, there's differences of doctrine, but I'm just going to preach what I know this morning, okay? If you've been Pentecostal for a number of years, and you're not seeking for the gifts or the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Can I be so bold to say that there's something lacking in your relationship with God? Because we should want everything. Everything that God wants for us. We need to be zealous for God. We need to be on fire for God. And I look around at the churches. I don't know how you got. My brother don't talk to me about y'all. Thank the good Lord. Then I can get up here and say whatever I need to say. Amen. You know, but I look around at the church and there's no fire. There's no zealousness. We've got to be zealous about God, about His Word. Because if you're not excited about it, then why would somebody want it? People want something that they see you being excited about. Are you excited about serving God? Now, I know not everybody jumps and runs and hoops and hollers and shouts. I understand that because we're all different, aren't we? But we should still want everything that God has for us. Everything. I don't want just a little bit. I want it all, brother. I want it all. I want it all. And we should all have a heart that says, God, I want it all. I don't want just a little bit. I'm tired of just a little bit. I'm tired of just a few. I want it all, God. I want to win people to you. I want to see the church full. I want to see people being saved daily as it happened in Acts. They added to the church daily. But we can't just sit in the pews and just go about our regular life and think that that's going to happen. We can't just expect to do the same thing all the time and expect something different to take place. We're going to have to get out of our comfort zone. We have to. So are you ready to be the church? I'm going to ask Willene if she'll come to the piano. I'm just going to ask you to just stand up. I ask you today, is the church alive? Now, I know there's probably many people here that are zealous for God. But there might be some here that's lost. You know, over in Revelations, God said, if you're lukewarm, I would rather you be hot or cold. Because if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. And I just, if everybody would just bow their heads and just search your heart and let us just ask ourselves, Lord, have I lost that zeal? Lord, search my heart. Have I lost that zeal? Have I lost that first love? Have I lost that feeling of when I first found you? Lord, search our hearts.